Employees might be hesitant to share their struggles, which is why breaking down the stigma on mental health challenges is crucial. In this B-Side episode, Gia Sison, National Advisor of the Youth for Mental Health Coalition, discusses with Business World reporter Jumel R. Pagian the potential benefits of addressing mental health in the workplace.
Today, we delve into the crucial topic of mental health in the workplace. To guide us through the nuances and challenges of this topic, we have the honor of hosting Dr. Gia Sison, a distinguished advocate for mental health awareness. Hello, Dr. Sison.
Hi, JM, and hi to everyone who's listening to the Business World podcast.
Okay, let's kick off our conversation by addressing a significant concern, because a recent study reveals that 38% of Filipino workers feel uncomfortable discussing their mental health or stress concerns with their supervisors. Dr. Sison, what in your view are the primary reasons behind this hesitancy to discuss, let's say, mental health concerns in the workplace?
I think one of the most important angle in that is still the stigma when you talk about mental health challenges, because it's still fear of losing the job. Because example, when you disclose that you are suffering from, let's say, bipolar or depression, your supervisor might think that you're not fit to work. In some companies, they still practice that. And so your job suffers. So I think fear of being stigmatized is still the number one reason on why employees or workers opt not to disclose their mental health conditions.
So, doctor, is this stigma something cultural within Filipino culture?
I think it is, because it was just last 2000 when the Mental Health Act was passed. Even before that, that was just when I felt that mental health was being heard. Even before that, it was considered taboo. You shouldn't talk about it because people think you're crazy. The stigma that goes with it when you talk about mental health, and which in our advocacy we try to fight it off by, you know, telling narratives of hope that even if you suffer from a mental health condition, it doesn't mean that you cannot work and you cannot function right.
So given that, can we say that this mental health advocacy is something new for some employers or even for some workers?
After the pandemic, it wasn't new anymore, because we all know that the work from home setup brought about a lot of unknown challenges in terms of the employer and in terms of the employee. So as we speak, I think it's more addressed now, more embraced, and a lot has changed since the Mental Health Act was passed.
Mm-hmm. So given that, are there constructive ways employees can communicate their mental health needs to their employers without fear of repercussions?
Yes, there are ways, but it's just that I think the workplace has to be psychologically safe, meaning to say it has to be a place where the employee can talk about his or her feelings without getting judged. So that's number one. And that's something that should be in the policy of every code of conduct book. That's my personal take on that. Because after declaring such, then the employee would kind of feel comfortable in talking about how he or she feels, just the way it is. It doesn't have to use high-tech terms, but feelings are feelings, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So how can we make the workplace psychologically safe for some workers?
Number one, it has to start from everyone, management, the employee, have a mental health workplace policy in place that will help at least give some peace of mind to the employees that, okay, my employer practices mental health and we have a policy for that. Because it all starts there. We have to first address the basic needs of the worker before we delve deeper into their mental health needs.
So, doctor, beyond the, let's say, employer-employee communication barrier, what other challenges do we face concerning mental health in the workplace? Perhaps, can you provide an overview of the current state of mental health in Filipino workplaces?
Okay, number one is the mental health care access, because in NCR, we are lucky because most of the psychiatrists, psychologist practice here. But outside NCR, it is indeed a challenge getting help. So that's one. But that can be addressed by telehealth or telemedicine. And that's what we saw during the pandemic. And even up to now, when patients are living outside NCR and our psychologists open their lines for teleconsult, that kind of helps. And the lack, because we all know that the ideal ratio of psychologists to, let's say, students is 1:10,000. And we're not meeting that. We're still so far from that. So I think the access to mental health care is a major problem before we address the rest. Number two, funding. Funding in terms of medications, the availability of the meds sometimes suffers, especially lately when pharma companies have shortage of meds. So those are two amongst a lot of major problems that we encounter.
So given the lack of mental health access and shortage in terms of funding, what are the impacts of this to, let's say, the workers specifically?
The impact is more of the suffering silence. But I see more employees open up to their peers because of this, because I feel that workplace support and the people you surround, you choose to surround yourself with, it highly helps you get motivated into helping yourself while waiting for that mental health support that you need. Sometimes pa nga, you wouldn't need na professional support because you have peer and family support. So that's how I see it now. So I think we have to make do with that for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, I would like to cite a study by Page Group indicating that 83% of Filipino workers plan to resign in 2022, citing that they desire for personal well-being, things like that. So given the problems that you stated earlier, is mental health a factor in this massive resignation trend happening in the country?
I think it's not number one. No? I think the number one reason why they want to migrate is how Philippine system is. Salary is number one. Because sabi nga, before you, in mental health, you have to satisfy your basic needs first before we delve deeper. So if you're not getting the salary that is up to you, then you choose greener pasture, so to speak. Example, in the healthcare industry, we see a lot of healthcare worker migration because of higher pay in other countries. And these are breadwinners. So I think there's a huge gap in salaries, wages, and even benefits compared to other countries.
Mm-hmm. So given that the primary reason is economic, how does mental health come into play in this problem?
It just, like example, if you can't fulfill your basic needs, example, you can't even provide for your family for food, it's like your salary when you receive it, it's just enough to pay the bills and nothing extra. So it kind of dominoes into how you start to overthink, how you get anxious on getting your day by, how you get anxious in having savings enough for you and your family to, you know, kind of enjoy what you have moving forward. So it's a huge component in the whole well-being of an individual.
So given that, what advice do you have for employees contemplating leaving their jobs on those basis?
I think for the employees that they feel that they need higher compensation, is to number one, understand where their company is coming from also, because it's a two-way street. If the employer can give what the employee wants, then why not? But having to communicate well to your employer that you probably need a little bit extra, 5% or to your salary, then why not? At least you have exhausted all means in being able to get your message across.
Aside from salary, doctor, are there any red flags or, let's say, signs that employees should be aware of indicating it's time to seek, let's say, professional help for the stress that they are experiencing in the workplace?
Well, whenever you feel that, for me naman kasi, let's not wait for the red flags to happen. In fact, before it happens, you may want to already speak to a close friend or maybe a counselor if available and tell, vent how you feel. But on the other hand, if you want to ask about red flags, one red flag is when you start to isolate yourself to a point that your quality of life suffers, your sleep suffers, you can't sleep, you can't eat. and you find yourself not functioning the way you are expected to function. So in terms of workplace, those are the signs and symptoms that we look after as doctors that maybe it's time to seek help.
So maybe some of our listeners can relate to those kinds of experiences. So the next question they may ask is, how can they navigate these workplace stressors and protect their mental well-being?
I think having a good support group in your office or in your workplace will highly help you. For me, I consider my home to be in two places, my physical home where I go home to every day and the workplace I go to every day. So if I want to make things work, my relationships in these two places has to work. So it's a two-way thing. And I guess having a support group in both places can highly help you. A support group doesn't have to be huge. It may be a trusted friend. So whenever you feel bad, then maybe you can just tell him or her. And if given a chance, you may want to talk to your immediate superior in the workplace for some feedback. Because for me, feedback is two-way. It's not just from the employer, but it also has to come from the employee. Keeping that open-mindedness that these are all constructive. Let's veer away from the stigma of feedbacks being only given because they want to put you down. A feedback should be given because you want the other person to improve. And I think that's one mindset that has to change.
I like those advice given to the employees, right? But how about for the employers? What strategies can they implement to, let's say, reduce the stigma associated with discussing mental health? And what kind of mental health initiatives or programs do you recommend for employers to do in their workplace?
In their workplaces, the employer may want to have monthly employee engagement activities where they themselves participate. Example, in my workplace, let's say all the celebrants of November, they have one huge party and they're given just cupcakes. But that means a lot that you are remembered. Validation in the things that nothing too small. Validate them for doing a great job. Giving them a network of support that they can contact if they need help. And, you know, just keeping your doors open for employees to say hi to you or even give feedback. So that for me may seem really basic, but it's really important.
Are there success stories or examples of this, doctor?
Yeah, a lot of success stories. Like I remember one case of a nurse suffering from anxiety, and we couldn't put her in a floor dealing with patients. But since she was open about her condition, help was given to her and assistance and adequate number of leaves that are paid just for her to recover and just for her to be saved and not for her to resign. After giving her enough time to take a leave, she came back. Okay, she followed what our psychologist advised her to. And now she's functioning well. So I'm saying this story because there are a lot of severe cases who are still afraid to speak up. This nurse overcome her fear. Thanks also to her support group, she sought help. She was given help and now she's well. So I would never forget about that case.
That's very great to hearing the stories of success battling against mental health concerns, right? Before we end this podcast episode, do you have like final reminders to, let's say, how can we discuss better mental health concerns in the workplace, in the POV of both employers and employees?
I think mental health will always be part of the conversation. And let's not be scared to talk about it because we have to normalize conversations pertaining to mental health, just like us normalizing conversations about salary pay, something like that. So by doing this, we get to lessen the stigma of talking about mental health because you just want to be healthy in general and you don't talk about mental health when it's really just bad. And mental health is, gone are the days when you talk about mental health and you're automatically talking about something, someone who is crazy. Those terms are very highly stigmatizing and we have to properly educate them on what mental health is. And let's all remember that when we talk about health, it's not just mental health, it's also our physical health and our social well-being. So there's a lot of dimensions into it, but simple conversations about it may mean a lot to someone who is in need of support.
Employers need a reminder that individuals experiencing mental health conditions can still contribute productively to the workplace, Ms. Season said. She also pointed out the importance of normalizing discussions on mental health, as well as cultivating support groups within and outside the workplace. Psychologically safe workplaces, Ms. Season said, has to start with everyone in the organization. This has been another episode of B-Side. Subscribe now and enjoy a new episode every week.